You're with Lemba Dopik on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the final hour of my marathon, 4 hours. Thanks for good comments about various guests. Red maybe has forgiven me now for not being harder on the Labour person. That really, really stings, Red. I do try to be fair-minded with everybody. A few points coming up here. And remember, we've got Gold Eagle himself, Simon Gold, with me in just a moment. Just let me read some of these, because I'll never be able to keep up with these if I don't read them now. Hermetica says, only one problem for Reform UK, as I see it. The financial markets would go berserk. We saw what they did to Liz Truss. How would Tyce Farage deal with this? Would the financial institutions prefer to bankrupt the country? Reform refused to go down the net zero route. Interesting question. I'll talk about that with Simon. I think he'll have some views. Grumpy old woman says cereals are junk food. I'm a convert back to porridge. When I was a child, I ate porridge and I found it a little bit tart, but now it suits my palate very well. And I think I don't want to tempt fate. I think it makes me feel a lot better. If I survive the next 55 minutes, I'll be off for a porridge oats inspired swim this afternoon. Holly goes further. Most food in supermarkets is junk. Don't shop in them. Blackthorn sea salt. Is recommended by Madrid. There's lots of debate about salt coming on there. How do you just join the Reform Party then, says Little Carol? I think you just put Reform UK, and there should be a way to join it online. I can't check it for you now, but that's what I would do. A few more comments here. A lot of talk about salt. Shorty too makes a good point. Climate scientists, we used to have weathermen. Yes. Well, actually, if you do look at it, the reality is a very, very small proportion of actual scientists think that human beings are solely or primarily responsible for climate change. The overwhelming majority are either neutral or just don't agree. I personally believe human beings make a difference, but not a measurable one. I think natural factors are much more important. And I get very angry when I see the education system perverting the thought processes of children to make them feel guilty for a non-existent crisis. That's how I see it. Little Carol says, yes, we can just say it's a hoax. Climate change is a hoax. And I tend to agree. I'm very careful and very clear about that with parents there as well. The parents think I'm odd for questioning the climate emergency. And that bothers me because these parents are meant to be quite smart. Madrid says Club of Rome put out the climate warming scam. Hemingway says, The Guardian is reporting that climate scientists are wary of starting families and have opted to have no children. So good news at last. I see where you're going with that. Nice point. So many more. Lord Melbury says, thank you, Lembit, guests and all in the chat. Have a great day, everyone. Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're leaving us there, but thank you for being with us for so long. Just a Bloke says, sad to be missing Simon Gold Eagle and the rest of the broadcast. Been a lively and interesting morning. Thank you, Lembit, guests and fellow chatterboxers. Enjoy the rest of your hopefully sunny Sunday. But Just a Bloke, you don't have to miss Simon because he's here now. All of that with me, Lembit Opik, on TNT.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Simon, good news. Lord Melbury's just tweeted or commented again. Not tweeted. He's in the chat. He's in the chat, tntradio.chat. Sorry, bosses. tntradio.live chat. And Lord Melbury says, oops, I'm glad I'm still on. Lembit show passes so fast. I thought the 4 hours had gone. No. You've got another 50 minutes, Lord Melbury, and thanks for sticking with us. And Guy Stanway, my earlier guest, recognised your handle. So there we are. And this man doesn't really need any introduction. Gold Eagle, greetings. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Yeah, I'm TNT's biggest fan. I absolutely love TNT. And Lord Melbury is right. Your show, although it's 4 hours, it just sails by, and it really does. I have you on in the background, and literally it does. It goes so quickly, like a zoom.
Oh, thank you so much. I like what you did there. I do enjoy doing it. Doing 4 hours is regarded as quite an intense dose of broadcasting, but I always feel energized afterwards, not least because we can dig deep with people. And because it's not scripted, we go where the story goes. And hopefully that's what gives it its vibrance. But there's praise indeed coming from you, Gold Eagle. How have you been?
Yeah, it's well, actually, Mrs. Gold Eagle was saying to me last night. She was saying, "Why do I bother with Twitter? Because before Twitter, did I rush into a pub and shout out to everybody, 'It's terrible! They're dropping leaflets in on Rafah. They want to destroy everybody.' Or did I run out into the street and go up to someone and say, 'Excuse me, excuse me! Look at this picture I've created. Isn't it funny?' You know, we didn't do that." Yeah. And yet it's part of my life now, going on Twitter, being on social media, and giving my opinion. And maybe it's something about my ego that I like people to recognize, that look, I can create, I'm creative, I'm wonderful. And maybe that's where we're going. I did like that interview, that last interview with Mr. Alan Cook there. And I do apologize, I haven't got, for those of you that are watching TNT in Vision, because TNT is available on lots of other platforms as well, like Rumble, YouTube as well. And Mr. Cook was wearing a very lovely flowery shirt. But the difference between the organization I work for, Unity News Network and TNT, is the questions that you ask. Because our audience would have asked questions like, "Is the Earth flat or round, or is it a matrix? Do you believe 9/11 was an inside job?" And it was really good to hear the policies of reform. But for me, this thing about the carbon footprint, it doesn't concern me because I drive everywhere. I don't leave a footprint. So it's like you were saying about the relevance of things, and how relevant they are to you. Because some things are relevant to you. I mean, for me, it's really important that people are being killed over in the world, no matter what the color of their skin is. They're still human beings. That's my tribe. I'm an Ooman. And I don't like to see people being killed. But yet we sort of talk about other things, which are sort of like of less relevance. And it's funny that, what people find interesting, what appeals to them.
Tip O'Neill, who was an American politician, coined a phrase I've never forgotten in 30 years. He said, "All politics is local." And what he meant was that the only politics that really affects most people is the politics that they can feel and sense and touch, that stops them buying a car or driving one, the politics that makes them wait for a week with a toothache, or the politics that incarcerates their grandmother to 2 years of lockdown solitude before they die. Those things seem to touch us. And I suspect that there's an entire chattering class in British Parliament who have solved all their fundamental problems. And they're comparatively wealthy, Simon. So what they do is they make stuff up, and then we're all exposed to it. And they forget that they work for us, and they think we somehow serve them. And then they come up with claptrap. That would be my view.
I mean, the thing is, though, is that the truth is that the big things in the political world will at some point affect them. So I totally agree with you, because what flashed in my head was when Julie James, the our local Tory, sorry, Labour, came knocking on the door. And she said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I want the roads sorted out." It was things then that affected me then. But I can see now the bigger picture, that these world events, and I've learned something. So are you saying that they work for us, the government and everything?
Yes, I'm glad you're sitting down.
Oh, well, that's something new. I didn't realize that. Oh no, it is a crazy world in which we live in, and this is why I love TNT Radio, because it's news talk. It's today's news talk, and we can talk about these things. Because what I find on the mainstream is we're not talking about it. Like you were saying about climate change, it's pushed out to us. This fear, 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 and that's all we got. We get. You were saying about the climate scientists that are saying the things about the climate change, and it's good because for us to form our opinion, we need everybody's opinions. You know, before we form our own opinion and see which ones we agree with, we've got to hear from all sides of the argument. And that's what TNT are really good at doing.
Thank you for your compliment right back at you as well, because you live in the same general stable as we do. And for me, the important thing and the reason I find these 4 hours on Saturdays and Sundays inspiring is because I don't have to censor anybody. And if I disagree, I can say so. And so can my guests, and they can criticize me as well. It seems to be a lost art. I know that we're talking about process here and it's a bit philosophical, but I don't know about you, Simon, but this relentless pressure for people to conform in an Orwellian sense really bothers me. I am sure, for example, that the human race simply hasn't got the firepower to significantly affect climate. But I'm seen as the odd one out. And the BBC expressly says, the state-sponsored channel expressly says they don't have to provide balance. So all they do is provide rubbish.
Yes, it's true. It's true. When I was listening to Mr. Cook's interview, he was talking about the traffic light system. And I think that traffic light system is really good, because when I see a green man, you know, an environmentalist, I do. I cross the road and I avoid him. Go on, sorry.
I was going to say, what I ask any environmentalist, as I did two nights ago, is this simple question: what percentage of the atmosphere out of 100% is carbon dioxide? This one, who claimed to have a double degree, quite an intelligent fellow, quite a likable guy, his answer, after telling me he was qualified to discuss it, was 70%. 70% of the atmosphere is CO2. When I told him that it's actually 0.04%, he told me I was wrong. It's just breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Anyway, I interrupted you.
It was the same, though, with COVID. Okay, because, you know, we're not endemoniologists, we're not, you know, we're not virologists, we're nothing like that. But yet we had, you know, a more correct view on the pushing out of the vaccines and everything than they did. Now, that doesn't make sense. But what I think it is that our society has become this society where we all want to be liked. And we all want to, we don't want to sort of like stick our head above the parapet and say something that's going to get us cancelled or something that other people may not like, even if it's the truth. And this is what, again, TNT and my own organisation that I work for, UNN, you know, we say things that are not popular. And these different points of view, it's like, I'd love to have seen the guy's reaction. You know, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? It's I've got it wrong, you know, yeah. Because you'd actually break down their whole view of the world, because their view of the world, it's not right. And yeah. I often ask myself, am I crazy? Am I the one that's insane? Mm. You know, having these opinions that are different from everybody. And I mean, last night I watched, I know you've covered a lot of it with the Eurovision Song Contest, but Mrs. Gold Eagle and I were sitting down watching it, and we were looking at the imagery. We were looking at what was basically from the Irish contestant. It was a satanic ritual that we were seeing there. The only thing that was missing was like a little baby being sacrificed. You have to remember as well that Israel won, I think it was 1998 that they won, and their contestant had a beard. You know, it's the way. I understand we as old people, as we've got older, you know, we have to change, you know, with the times. You know, we have to you know, become like these loving, caring people, and not have these thoughts which are bigoted, misogynistic, racist, and all these other buzzwords that they like to throw at us for having a difference of opinion. I think we have to change, you know, with the times, but we still have to hold on to a lot of things that are dear to us, like, for example, our heritage. You know, it's funny because I wasn't really a nationalist until all of this COVID drama, because I was just like a freedom fighter. You know, it was like, hang on a sec, these are my rights. Are you telling me that I can't do this? And for nonsense? I mean, to be honest, if it was like real, then yeah, I'd do what they'd say. But it gets back to you know, what the government working for us, you know, do they really care about us? Is the government our mummy and daddy, as Kate Shemarani says? And the truth is, they're not. But sorry, Ellen.
Well, good to break in a minute, but just two thoughts. I was really, really, really disgusted by the vulgarity of the show yesterday evening, because not because I'm against that kind of broadcast, but I'm against that kind of broadcast being dressed up as family entertainment. It totally violated what I want my children to see. The second thing, from way back what you said, I understand the appeal of X or Twitter, because you kind of feel famous when people respond to what you've said. And I'm bemused by it a little bit. I've had something of an outburst about how poor I thought last night's performance was. And I gained lots of followers. Maybe I'll finally make it to 10,000, Simon. Who knows? But stay with us. We'll come back. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about how you see the current political situation, if there's any hope for us to dig ourselves out of the mess that we're in. You're watching Simon Gold Eagle, who's probably being watched by Mrs. Gold Eagle, on my show, the Lemotopic Show, here on today's News Talk TNT. We'll see you after the break.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
Presidential candidate RFK Jr. apparently has a dead worm in his brain. It's a very strange story. RFK Jr. revealed the condition legal proceedings over a decade ago. I don't know why this is absolutely newsworthy, but anyway, we'll see. Robert F. Kennedy once thought he had a brain tumor, but the dark spot on the scans turned out to be a dead parasitic worm. Listen, it happens. People have this sort of thing. So interesting. New York Times is reporting it, citing legal documents. So I don't know how to basically read this. It can only be read one way, that a story like this that drifts out during an election cycle, it's probably to discredit the candidate. So Robert F. Kennedy running independent. It's not on the Republican ticket, not on the Democratic ticket, not yet on the Democratic ticket. Take note there.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back to the Lemotopic Show, where I am honored to have Gold Eagle, Simon Gold himself, with me. A man of mystery, an international man of mystery, with a fellow traveling channel, UNN. They explore things that others dare not touch. A few comments from you at tntradio.live. Do join the chat. I can't possibly keep up with everything that's been said there, and you'll get the most out of the show if you go to tntradio.live. It only takes a moment to sign in, and it'll add 30% to your enjoyment. Holly says, I don't need any government to look after me. I'm quite capable of my own. Thank you very much. And I don't doubt that, Holly, from having met you. We Fat Chug, referring to social media, said I had 1,300 followers on there, and about three of them would see my posts. It was a waste of time and effort. Well, Maybe, but I actually caught quite an interesting debate going last night about this. I was heavily criticized by some people who clearly thought Eurovision was great and that I was some kind of a homophobe, which is absolutely preposterous. And I haven't made any judgment about the nature of the sexual act which has been portrayed. I've simply said it's not appropriate family viewing. Not really very complicated. Hermetica says, sadly, Lambert, I can't follow you on Twitter, even though I might want to. I have no intentions of getting involved in that cesspit. I understand the view, but it's back to what Simon was saying. Depends how seriously you take things. Sticks and stones versus words. And sometimes you get interesting responses. Just before we go on, Simon, there's a certain skepticism about these social networks. How do you cope with criticism?
I'm criticized all the time. My profession, I trained to be an actor. And criticism for me was always a good thing because you would learn from it. You would take it because the criticism was always constructive. So what they would say is like, you know, try and be that person more, or try and do something differently in that. But unfortunately, on social media, the criticism isn't constructive. It's your and then insert expletive here. I was called a Nazi mother copulator on there because of a post I put out about the dropping of these leaflets that, you know, Israel are warning people that they're going to strike, and that because of it, obviously it's a long and big subject, this Israel-Palestine thing. It, you know, it's way too much to get into, but it's just the fact that is the argument. And it does seem as well, where we've got this left wing, right wing sort of thing going on, and all this division within the right wing as well, that everyone's criticizing everybody for every little thing. So that even if you type out a tweet and you misspelt something, someone will have a go at you. You know, they'll point out, they'll criticize literally everything about it. It is a crazy world that we live in, but we've got to live in this world. Madrid, I think, in chat said, if I had the money, I would go off grid. And I concur. I mean, if I had the money, if I was able to live in a different world, because we're sort of like, we're like playing a game of Monopoly. And I think for the most of us, this is me anyway, is I'm literally going around the Monopoly board. Okay. Fortunately, I'm passing go and I'm getting my money in, but I don't own anything as I'm going around. I'm literally fearing every roll of the dice. And I'm maybe in some ways when I'm just visiting prison, and even free parking. Monopoly should be updated now because even parking isn't free now.
I know what you mean. You end up feeling that you're just about to be caught out with an unexpected bill, an exploded financial bomb somewhere. The other thing, of course, is that we become mortgage slaves because we're told we have to have property, as if you can take your building with you when you go. The conformity in this country implies that everyone around the world is owning property, but a lot of people just rent and they're free and they're happier for it. But before we go down that path, looking at the state of the country at the moment, I watched and actually stood on a few doorsteps during the local elections to see what was going on. And there's a general feeling that there isn't much choice, that Labour and Conservatives are pretty much the same, with Lib Dems the poor relation. Where do you stand on this? Do we have a choice?
No, we don't. I mean, even with to refer back to your guest from Reform, where Reform are supposed to be, you know, an alternative to a Conservative Party, you know, I am politically homeless. There isn't one mainstream political party that aligns with all of my thoughts, what I want for our country, what I want for my life. Getting back to what you said before as well about the things that concern us, you know, about the roads, about the local issues, even those, they're not followed by our by our parties. It seems that they're more interested in the policies, the main policies, like the immigration, like who they're funding, and not about the basics. And that's what I think politics needs to get back.
When I was involved in the Liberal Democrats, and I was involved for a long time, what they did really well was the local stuff. What they did well was get the potholes fixed and get the street lighting fixed and all this. It isn't glamorous, but if you keep getting a damaged wheel rim because of a pothole in your street, it makes quite a big difference when it goes away. Having said that, my malaise, and I mentioned it earlier on in the show, my malaise, my perception of the malaise in British politics is now we get career politicians, people like Nick Clegg, who had just no grasp of the real world. All they ever want to do is be politicians. So they turn up in Parliament, not having even been a local councillor, ruin a party, and then clear off to another pretend job, some dreamland job in America, which is to do with social networks. Go on.
I was going to say 100%. In your interview, someone, I can't remember who, asked the question about hope, not hate, is there too much? Do they have too much influence on there? This for me epitomises what Mr. Tice is all about, because I think he's a career politician and he's just trying to follow things that the majority of people are going to please. Now, in my opinion, right, if someone was trying to say something to me, you know, somebody wrote a tweet 3 years ago saying this, which goes against your policy, I would have backed it. You know, I would have doubled down, and not been dictated to by, by an opposition, by, a far left group like is it Hate Not Hope or Hope Not Hate? I really do think that.
Good point. A few comments coming in here. Hermetica says, woke up in early 2020 through the constant fear mongering and I never went back to sleep again. Wee Fat Shug says, again, mortgages, huge scam of epic proportions. In a way, one I've been taken in by, I have to say. Now, what's it feel like to be a millionaire? Probably the same as not being a millionaire if all of it is tied into property. Hermetica says, yes, but so too is the rental market. Good point. Shorty too. Makes a point, Simon, which maybe we'd agree with. I like David Curtin, and I also like the old schoolness of George Galloway. Hopefully he will call sparks in the Commons. I was delighted when he won, actually. It was a real poke in the eye for the old establishment. It was fantastic. My rent is $1,200 a month, says Madrid, pretty high. And here's one for you from Hermetica. But Simon, reform is the best option we have at the moment. We need to stop this net zero agenda and the rise of Marxism. How do you respond to Hermetica?
What I would say is, but, Simon, too much butter in there. And it's a slidey, greasy slope with it. I don't know the answer. Do you mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, they are correct. Isn't it our enemy? Our enemy becomes our friend,
or our enemy's enemy is our friend.
Yeah, do they really have a chance, though? Reform. I mean, it literally is out there in the world. I come from South Wales, and in South Wales, literally, you could put a sheep up for Labour, and they will vote for it. You have this sort of perception that you either vote Labour or Tory. And until we really smash that thinking, that there is an alternative. Mm-hmm. Now, George Galloway, who has a lot of views which I agree with, but a lot that I don't, it's great to see him actually questioning in Parliament. It was the same with Andrew Bridgen, whether you think he's part of a controlled opposition or not, or whatever. He's still asking the questions. You know, those questions are still getting out. And at the very least, we can hold those as receipts that, that they knew about these things, that these things are out there. I don't know what the political solution is, or even if there isn't a political solution. My solution was a revolution, but my tweet when I ran into that pub and shouted out, "Hey, let's have a revolution," didn't get a lot of people. A lot of people were like, "Yeah, I think that's the trouble, though, is that we're talking about apathy with the local elections. And I think most people now are keyboard warriors. You know, the actual thing of, we'll let somebody else do that. We can change, you know, someone will come and save us. Someone will change it. And I think, unfortunately, what will happen is people will wake up too late. Is like, oh, my God, Lembit was right. Oh, what he was saying was right. I didn't believe it at the time, but oh my goodness. And it's too late now. What can we do? We're here now, 15-minute city. I haven't got a car. I've got no money. And this is my life. I'm renting clothes. Everything's renting. And I was warned and I should have listened.
This is the difficulty we do face now with Oxford, a place which you would think has intelligent people. They're talking about having a climate lockdown. They're actually changing how you drive around there, limiting your right to do it. And the people conform all the time. The people conform. But I believe this is only achievable through crass hypocrisy, Simon, because how do people get to Davos? How do people go to the climate conference in Dubai? They flew. 70,000 people fly, but we're not supposed to. And it's the very worst aspects of a book, which was mentioned by somebody earlier on in the chat, Animal Farm. The pigs start with four legs good, two legs bad, but in the end start walking around on two legs. And then we've got little Greta Thunderbird, who's now deciding to wade into Middle Eastern politics. By what authority do they do? Sorry, why do we give them the authority to do this? Why do they get followers from intelligent people who should know better?
I don't know. I'm getting distracted by chat. Shugsy saying I have absolutely zero faith in politics or its bottom dwelling politicians. And Lord Melbury says it's worse in Germany. Not allowed to drive your car at the weekend because of all this nonsense. He didn't actually say nonsense. He said another word. But
while we're at it though. Yeah, you've chosen not to read this one out, Simon. I can see why. Hermetica says, Simon, you always make me laugh. Reform have the best chance, whatever we may think of them. Let's pull together and stop the satanic agenda. Pulling in different directions is never going to do it. The hard left have one thing going for them. They're focused. We need to stop calling each other controlled opposition and start focusing together. How do you respond to that? Maybe if you and I and David Curtin and everybody I've had on my show and everybody on the chat all joined Reform UK, we could do what's in rugby's called a turnover.
Yeah, I love David. Hashtag no homo. He was there right at the very start. I met David on the UNN bus. Unity News Network hired a bus to go around London to spread our message of that we weren't granny killers and horrible anti-vaxxers. And David really is a good man. Yeah, it would be great, you know, if we had these politicians that all made sense, you know, as I believe that we are doing. How do I answer the question on that from Helmetica? Yeah, okay, I'll vote Reform. I actually don't vote. I haven't voted in any elections because I sell my vote. My father, I just go up to him and I say, I'm going to vote Tory, Dad. And he goes, oh, how much is it going to cost me this time? I go, £20. And I pocket the money. voting does make a difference. It really does. But how do we persuade people, you know, to get people that we want and like in power? I don't know the answers.
In the last 5 days, sorry I interrupted you, but just on that very point, in the last 5 days I met two different people totally unconnected who want to set up political parties, and I've warned them. I said it'll take £8 million to make any significant impact in a general election. One of them said they'd get it, the other was a bit surprised. The thing here though, Simon, is the proliferation of parties now I think expresses a general disenfranchisement and a break in the loyalty and connection with the old parties. And that's because they've become a uni party. The danger of not voting is you're going to get someone, but you haven't got the right to complain.
Yeah, but there's too many. There's too much division there. That, you know, when you go to vote, okay, and you've like literally got 10 different things on there. This independent party, the party for hedgehogs, literally all these things that are so different. It does dilute. So that, you know, the majority, and they say this is what a democracy is about, isn't it? You know, it's the majority get what they want. Well, if the majority, you know, want to be watching a satanic ritual on their TV, then, you know, surely we should shut up and enjoy our democracy that we live in. Maybe we should all start wearing dresses and lipstick. And yeah, I mean, I know I'm being facetious here, but because we shouldn't. We should rebel against the machine. That made me laugh. That, you know, during all this lockdown and COVID and everything, that all these Rage Against the Machine and all these people, the musicians that you would have expected to be anti-government, anti-establishment, and they were all like going along with it. It's absolutely a thing. Talking about climate lockdowns, I know we're going from one subject to the other subject, but we were talking about climate lockdowns, and I was talking to my son about, he's 33 years old, and I said, you know, look, you know, they're talking about having a climate lockdown, and he said, oh God, I hope they have it here in South Wales. I'll be able to catch up on my Netflix. And I'll be able to, you know, I haven't played my games for so long because he's so busy working. And he loved lockdown. It was literally, he was getting paid to stay at home and do the things that he enjoyed. So, you know, is it a good thing if we do that?
Well, if there was a climate lockdown and I didn't have to work, then I'd just go and fly around everywhere all the time. That's what I'd do. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back to you in just a minute. You're listening to The Opinionated and effervescent Simon Gold, Gold Eagle, here on the Lembotopic Show. This is today's news talk. We'll see you in a moment.
Military families often sacrifice precious time away from loved ones while serving our country. And for those with children, the separation can be especially difficult.
We were worried that with him leaving, that she would lose those connections with her dad.
Some of life's best moments happen between parents, children, and the pages of a good book. United Through Reading provides that connection.
You can watch your mom or dad read a book to you, and it almost feels like they're really there.
We ensure they remain a consistent, meaningful part of their children's lives, no matter the distance.
Just seeing Jacob recognize Daddy again after a long time just melted my heart.
And now, as we're facing greater isolation from our loved ones, United Through Reading is also available to veterans. Learn more about United Through Reading and download our free secure app at unitedthroughreading.org.
The Kids Cancer Project funds vital research into childhood cancers. And you fund the Kids Cancer Project. Funding research means giving children back their lives. And who knows what kids with cancer could grow up to do? The Kids Cancer Project. Survival starts with science. Donate now.
The Kids Cancer Project.
Lembotopic on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Lembotopic Show here on today's News Talk, TNT. Wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining me. I have the self-powered ideologue and optimist, I think, Gold Eagle, Simon Gold, with me. Let me go through some of the comments before we do our headlong dash to the top of the hour with Simon. Lord Melby says, we don't give them the authority. They just assume it, of politicians. Little Carol says, so true, Goldie, so much apathy. I'm ready to saw down the cameras on the roads. I'm a doer, not a bystander. Madrid says, satanic is, this is a battle of good and evil. I think that's what I observed on Eurovision last night. Shorty 2 says of reform, I don't trust Nigel Farage anymore. Shown his true colours, white and 666. It never really struck me as satanic, I have to say. The Greens responded to the Transport Secretary by saying there were ways to fix the climate, says Hemingway, like forcing everybody to drive slower. This is the thing. Oh, and one more, Hermetica says, Simon, you can't complain if you don't vote. That's the point I made as well. The only difference it makes is to make everything worse, says Wee Fat Shug. You've stirred up a pot of dissent here, a pot of dissent, Simon. But what about this? What about this point? The Green Party, which wags the dog of Western politics, helps us introduce utter drivel like lower speed limits to save the climate, which just costs millions of hours of time, as if our time is worthless.
Well, it's actually more nefarious than that, because in the same way that when you talk to your climate scientist that doesn't know, you know, the content of what the atmosphere is made of, it doesn't. This 20 mile an hour or on we've got the M4. And the M4, yeah. And it's had it for years, okay? It's had a restriction down to 50 miles per hour. And it's supposed to be for, you know, the greater good. It's supposed to flow the traffic. It doesn't. There's traffic jams, and traffic will sit in that traffic for an hour, hour and a half, which obviously makes more of the exhaust fumes are going in you know, into the air. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. It makes no sense because it's nonsense. And as much as we like say to everybody, look, you know, this doesn't make sense. This is you get your buts. Just to go back, because I did ignore the reply before. It's about, you know, not voting because I haven't voted. You know, I can't complain. But no, I will complain. You introduced me before I came on. You said I was prolific, but I'm not prolific. I'm anti-lific. I'm anti everything. I'm anti everything that they throw at us. And again, to get back to you know, where we get most of our mainstream information from, like the BBC, everything that they say, even if they're telling me, you know, something that is true, my first thought is like, oh no, it's not. That, you know, what is their agenda? And I think maybe I'm spending too much time overthinking all of this stuff that's going on, and I'm forgetting one big major thing, and that's to live this life and have fun. Now, life, Lemper, it's too short. Life is so short. I lost my daughter. I didn't, like, you know, go to mother care and things. She took her own life. She was 22, 23. And it was one of the most horrific things as a father to do, to lose one of your daughters. And it's given me a real perspective on life. My last words were to her, we'd had an argument, and I said, you know, life's too short. And but those words are coming back to haunt me, because life is too short. I'm nearly 60 years old, okay? So why am I speaking out about all these things? Why does it bother me? My kids are all grown up. They're all happy living in this world. They just want to have fun. And, you know, why should we try and stop them from having fun? If they want to worship Satan, if they want to dress up in, clothes and talk about on social media all their sexual preferences and deviances and stuff like that, why should we stop them? I am a Christian. Okay. And I do tend not to talk about my Christianity, because it's all with my fear of knock jokes and the Jehovah Witnesses. I don't want to go knocking on everyone's doors. And, you know, by telling everybody about God and Jesus and how Jesus saved me, I think people got to discover it for themselves. And I think this is what, with politics, with everything that we talk about, I think they've got to discover everything for themselves. But we still need to live our lives to the best that we can. And I know we're trying to change things so our world is better. And I think we've got to keep striving for it, because Shorty 222 says, "Me too, Goldie. She loves me for being anti." But I'm not actually related to Shorty 222. Oh, anti, sorry, not auntie. I treat everything as a joke, because that's my way of dealing with stuff. Because when you think about everything that really is going on, it's a lot for a human brain to take. And I think I'd end up crying, you know, with some of the stuff that's going on, you know, like those potholes, man. those potholes that you're so right as well, Embit, is that, you know, if you go over and even things like removing stuff from the carriageways, they don't do that anymore. I actually went over a brick and I actually went to the council to say, look, there was a brick in the road. And they said, well, you should have avoided it. And I said, well, I couldn't avoid it because I would have crashed my car. You know, they need to be doing things that they're putting all their money into this. We've got homeless people here, right? We've got thousands of homeless people. Yet we can find the money to bring in immigrants from other countries and give them a home. And I don't want to make it all about, you know, Britain first and things like that. But I just want some common sense rather than all this nonsense.
So in which case, there's quite a lot. I'm compressing a lot of the commentaries. A lot of people saying, well, you've got to vote. You've got to get somebody in there. But let me put that in a slightly different way. Every time I've tried to walk away from political activism, I've been sneakily dragged back into it. Always a little thing. Something happens and I get a bit involved and I deliver a leaflet. And then before I know it, I'm a member of this or a chair of that. It seems to me that there is a responsibility for those of us who think like today's News Talk, TNT and UNN, your outlet, to actually show leadership and to say, you don't have to follow. You don't have to vote for the sheep. You can actually vote for somebody else. And back to that point, which you sardonically observed correctly about earlier on, to tell the politicians, just remember who you work for. This is your performance review and you failed and you're out. You want to take away my right to drive a petrol diesel car in 2030? Then get out. I will get a sensible person who does what I want them to do. And don't give me excuses because I know what's best for me. You don't know what's best for me. But if we don't say that, Simon, then the vanilla sky politicians, people like Nick Clegg, will keep getting reelected, messing things up and then clearing off on their multi-million pound or multi-million dollar, in his case, salary afterwards. We have to intervene.
Yeah, you're right. But it's finding that solution that we can, you know, change, that we can change the world. At the moment, it seems that everybody really is sort of like grifting. You know, we'll change the world for you. Donate here, you know, and we'll do it. Where you join things though, like reform as well. One of the things that is like a bit odd with reform is that you don't actually join the party. You just join their website to say that you support them. So you're not sort of like a bit of the party. I found that we're all sort of like finding our tribe. We're all finding our people. And, you know, we're coming together. And unfortunately, our tribe that we have here, we are a minority. You are right. Even Hermetica in chat is right. We've got to try everything that we can. And I did this during lockdown. I supported the people that were saying, sign my petition. And I'd say, look, I don't think petitions are going to work. You know, you'll say, I don't agree with this, but then they'll reply to it saying, yes, well, we've discussed this. This is our policy. You know, they fob us off. But it's still a path to go down. And I think we need to go down every road that we possibly can. And the way we do it is by talking. And hopefully we talk it amongst ourselves. And we come up with an idea that will actually work. I personally, from the political point of view, I'd like to see everybody on the opposition just become the fourth party. So get all the independents all together as the fourth one. Because George Galloway he's got a really good idea with the Workers' Party. He's saying you can stand in your own constituency. You could just put up your own money. Obviously, we haven't got the money to do it, but you put it up, we'll back you, come under our banner. Now, you know, this is something that, you know, I'm thinking, well, should I get behind this? Someone in chat as well was saying about somebody in Southend was getting like thousands of pounds salary. And I'm thinking, here we go. It was Hemingway said, become a council boss. Southend-on-Sea's Tony Cox is on £300,000 a year. You know, well, £300,000 a year to get paid that sort of money to, you know, change That's quite an incentive, isn't it? And I would like to see it, but in practice, I remember UKIP lady. I've forgotten what her name is. She's not with them anymore. She was the deputy leader of UKIP, and this is
Who you mean.
She was saying, look, you know, let's get everyone together, but nobody wanted to. There's too many egos. But I think if there's a political answer, I think that is the way, because then we would become the majority. We could argue about, you know, who's going to run the party, who's going to be the face of the party. We could worry about that afterwards. But that would, if everybody put down their egos, put down everything, and stood as a fourth party, then I think it would be credible. We were talking about Farage earlier. And I think, you know, what Farage did with that, you know, during Brexit and everything like that, you could see we did have the popular, you know, of what the UK wanted.
Yeah, you're talking about Rebecca Jane. She left, but she tried to do that. I've been to meetings that have tried to bring a coalition together, but almost by definition, if you bring non-conformists together, they won't conform. And that means the conformists have a built-in advantage. That's the issue there. But I don't want to finish on a negative note, Simon. One thing I'm noticing is that the puddles have become ponds and the ponds are becoming a lake, and the lake could become an ocean. If you push people too far, they'll just stop believing the drivel. For example, with climate change, there was snowing last week in Moscow. You could see it on the television. Interestingly, the state-sponsored channel didn't mention the weather, even though it was snowing in May in Moscow. That's completely in line with the prediction that it's going to get colder. So if they spout nonsense, but the real science in this example of climate change doesn't cooperate, surely there comes a time when the public go, nah, no more vaccinations, nah, no more climate lockdowns. And they simply either disobey or just ignore the fools.
We can but hope.
You're not optimistic about this at all, are you?
I want to be positive, because you want to end on a positive note. So my positivity.
No, I don't want you to lie. I don't want you to lie.
I mean, my positivity will be, right, is be the best that you can, right? If you feel that, you know, that you're going to just live your life as best as you can, be happy, enjoy things, go out and have fun. Listen to TNT radio regularly, watch UNN, watch all these people, listen to all these people, and hopefully between us, we can come up with a solution, and then people can get behind that solution. And then when we've got, it's a numbers game. It's all a numbers game. It only takes, I think it's 20,000 people, 30,000. It's 2 or 3% of the population to start a revolution. And I think we should start a revolution here on TNT Radio.
Oh, nice. That's an optimistic place to finish. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Let me give you some good news as well, Simon Gold. It's 384 days till the next Eurovision Song Contest final. That gives us time to prepare. Yeah. Well, I started counting the days. Go on.
Mrs. Gold Eagle is actually writing the song as we speak now. We were having a bit of fun because we were using catchphrases from the left, from the woke, and we were setting it to music. We think that is the way forward. But they were putting out a good message at Eurovision, and that was peace and love. And that's what we, you know, we want that, don't we? It's just that we don't want it with all the satanic ritual, everything else that's being shoved into our faces.
I'll finish with a confession. I went to the Eurovision Song Contest in 2002. When it was hosted in Tallinn, Estonia, at the request of the former Prime Minister, Edgar Savisaar. He hosted me. I knew him well. I know him, but he's still around. And it was great, because people understood it was kitsch. And it wasn't. It was innocent. It was actually not the way it is now. So there is still hope. And I suppose for me, like Noah's Dove, when the Eurovision Song Contest comes back, actually Noah's dove doesn't come back in his piece, but when the dove comes back in the form of Sandy Shaw type puppet on a string, Bucks Fizz and the like, then I know that the world's changing. And you and I will be there to see it. We shall stand on the shoulders of giants and wave our little British flags. Thank you very much indeed. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, it's always a pleasure talking to TNT presenters. I'm actually doing a challenge. My bucket list challenge is to actually appear on every TNT show. I've only got about five or six still to go.
Well, you're always welcome here. And with that, I say thank you, Simon Gold. And I'll come on to yours as well. Very happy to do that. So thank you, Simon. Thank you to all my guests. Thank you to the team across the world who puts this together. But more than anything, thank you to you, dear viewers, for keeping the torch of freedom of speech burning. I'll probably be on during the week, but I'll certainly be back next weekend for another 8 hours of marathon news and comment right here on the Lembotopic Show on today's News Talk TNT. Have a wonderful week, whatever you're doing. I'll see you soon.